Did anyone have pancakes this week? Did anyone flip the pancakes this week? Oh, good. See, I thought we'd do a bit of pancake flipping. Oh, that didn't actually... No, I thought we'd do a bit of... Whoa! Pancake flipping this morning. Yes, thank you. Thank you. It still hasn't flipped, actually. Oh, it's all in the action, isn't it? Okay, pancake flipping. Yes. Anyone think they can do it better than me? Yes, would you like to come up? Do. Anyone else? Round of applause. Wonderful. Brilliant. Oh. Okay. Pancake flipping. Pancakes. Did you enjoy them when you ate them? Do you have them with lemon and sugar? Ice cream? No. Syrup? Bananas? Chocolate? Cream? Cointreau? I think we're progressing onto a different level now. Okay, sugar and lemon, my favourite, I have to say. But the reason we have pancakes is not just so that we can enjoy flipping them and enjoy the Cointreau or whatever we want to have on them, but it's because we're looking forward to an event that is going to take place. We're looking forward to Easter. Yes. We have pancakes because of Jesus and his 40 days and 40 nights, which is the time of Lent. Excellent. If I had a prize, I'd give you one. But I haven't. So never mind. But it's a brilliant answer. And we prepare for Easter over those 40 days. And we start off with the flipping of the pancakes. But the point is that we do it because of God. It started off because we're looking forward to Easter. So let's stand together this morning, if you would, right at the beginning. Amen. Please be seated. So it's a time of Lent. What have you given up then? People give up things for Lent. What have you given up? Anyone? Chocolates? Sweets? No one's given up anything. Yes. No.
No.
No. Do we not do the whole Lent thing? Have I got the right time of year? Okay. In your new sheet, just to help you along, as if I knew this might happen, there are some items that people give up for Lent. Chocolates. Who likes chocolates? Would you give them up for 40 days? Ridiculous thing to do. Crisps! Who likes crisps? I like crisps, yes. Savoury, more the savoury type. Would you give up crisps for 40 days? Okay, some people would. All right. Sweets. Haribo sweets. Or all other varieties. We don't want to, you know. You don't like Haribo. So that wouldn't be hard for you. You'd give up Haribo. Anyone else like Haribo or other variety of sweets? Me too. Would you give them up for 40 days? No, I would find it hard. Oh, look, a nice glass of wine there. Anyone like a nice glass of wine? Or other varieties of alcoholic beverage? Would you give that up for 40 days? Yeah. Anyone else would find it difficult? You don't want to say because... then everyone would be looking at you, wouldn't it? Okay, television. This is television down the bottom. Now, do people like watching television? Yeah. DVDs, films? Could you give it up for 40 days? No, that's silly. It'd be silly, ridiculous. Who would do that, eh? Well, I have to tell you that personally... I try not to participate in Lent. It's just too hard. I mean, giving up my favourite item, which is chocolate, I have to say, in case you want to buy me any, is just too difficult. Walking past the sweet shop, there is a great temptation to go inside, isn't there, just for that chocolate bar. How would I resist? What would I have with my cup of tea? A biscuit, perhaps. But it's not quite as exciting. It's really not worth it. It's just too hard for me. You see, and it seems that these days, Lent is all about giving things up. You know, everyone says, oh, what are you giving up for Lent? And it's all about how long you can manage to not do something that you always do. It's a bit of, you know, how long can I stop gratifying myself? Can I succeed? And then at the end of it, of course, you know, have all that you haven't had and just delve in and eat it all or watch a lot of telly. But you see, traditionally, Lent was very different. It wasn't about giving up things. It was about preparing yourself. It was about looking at yourself and thinking, what am I like? And what do I want to be like? It was about looking at yourself and thinking, where do I stand with God? And where do I want to be with God? It was about having a time to prepare yourselves for what was coming, Easter, Jesus' death and Jesus coming back to life. It wasn't ever a self-satisfying challenge. Can I do this? It was a time to prepare. Now you might say, well, things are different now, Kate, because it's turned into this time of giving up something and trying to last without something. Times are different now. Because we don't use up all our food in the cupboard in our pancakes and then not have it while we prepare. We then go out the next day and buy some more. Times are different. Well, that's true. You're absolutely right. But it seems to me that even if times are different, Lent is still an opportunity that we can take. An opportunity that we can take to prepare. I mean, how often do we have time to prepare for something? You might have to prepare when you have exams or tests or a presentation or something like that. But how often do we have to really sit and think, I'm going to prepare properly? It's often a rush, isn't it? And yet, preparation is so important. Did anyone watch the Oscars on telly? Oh, you're a brilliant congregation. Excellent. Another illustration down the pan. The Oscars. I watch them. I love the Oscars. I love to see the dresses and the speeches and the suits and who's going to win. But I watched it and I thought, you know, imagine if they hadn't prepared for it. And the winner is Kate Winslet. We haven't got an Oscar because we didn't bother with the preparation. You didn't have a red carpet because we forgot about that. You didn't have a limousine because we didn't bother ordering them. Oh, and your hair's completely ruined because we didn't think about the rain. Imagine if there was no preparation for these big events which take place. It would be a disaster. Preparation is so important, and it's the same when we lead up to Easter. Maybe we can think about that as we sing our next song together. Let's stand. I want to read you a story. Does anyone like stories? Brilliant. It's a story called The Land of the Giants. Anyone seen a giant? Have you? Was it scary? On TV, yeah. Oh, thought you meant real. Okay, here's a story. Are you sitting comfortably? No. Silly question, really, isn't it? Would you like a sofa? Okay. Joshua and Caleb crept forward. No one must see them. They were taking a secret look around the land that God had promised. Now they could see the valley below. Just look at all those grapes, said Joshua. The biggest and juiciest I have ever seen, Caleb said. We must take some back to Moses. This is a good land for our people. Moses had sent 12 men to spy out the land, north and south and east and west. It would have taken quite a long time, wouldn't it? Joshua and Caleb came back to Moses. It's a good land, they said. Just look at these grapes. Look at those grapes. Man, you don't need one. You'd be full. They were almost too heavy to carry. Let's go there now, Caleb said. We know God will help us. But the other spies were much too scared. We saw giants in the land, they told Moses. We saw giants in the land, they said to the people. They would stamp on us like grasshoppers. I don't know what kind of programs they've been watching. Then all the people were very scared too. They grumbled and they grumbled. Why is God taking us to a land full of giants, they said. It's a good land, Joshua and Caleb said again. Don't be scared. We know God will help us. But no one would listen to them. Why won't my people trust me? God said to Moses. Didn't I rescue them from Egypt? Didn't I help them find food and water in the desert? Why won't they trust me to help them now? They don't deserve a new land full of good things. No, Moses said, they don't. But I know that you love us, even when we don't deserve it. So won't you give us another chance? Not the grown-ups, said God. Because they would not trust me, just the children. They will go in and enjoy the new land when they grow up, Joshua and Caleb too, because they trusted me. So the people stayed for 40 long, long years in the desert until the children were grown up, all because they did not trust God. I think that's a sad story. I don't know about you. It's got giants and it's got grapes and all the rest. But I think it's a sad story because the people were standing on the edge of an amazing land full of wonderful things, a land which God had chosen for them to have. And they could see it, and yet they had to turn around and walk in the desert for 40 years. All because they were unprepared. They couldn't trust God at that time. What a disaster. What a failure. What an awful thing to do. And yet, if we fast forward 40 years later on, we find a similar story in the Bible. A little bit further on, with many ups and downs on the way, lots of successes in the wilderness, lots and lots of failures, the people once more are standing on the edge of this amazing land which God has given to them. And they again have a choice to make. Are they going to trust God and go into the land? Or are they going to look and see all the problems and have to turn around again? And Moses, their leader, says this to them. He says, as they stand on the edge of the land, he says, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, or death and destruction. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is life. And he will give you many years in the land he swore long ago to your forefathers. On the borders of the promised land, Moses sets before the Israelites life and death. The choice of going into the land and following God, or the choice of turning around and dying in the wilderness. What do you think they chose this time? Any guesses? It's 50-50. They choose not to go in. You see, it's the thing about 50-50, isn't it? We did a quiz last night. We had lots of 50-50 questions. We kept getting them wrong. Unfortunately, that's not the correct answer. Do you think they went in? Or do you think they stayed out? Oh, they went in. Wonderful. Do you know when we had our quiz last night, it became such a disaster because we kept getting the questions wrong. It wasn't fun anymore. But they chose right. And after 40 years of wondering, 40 years in the wilderness, they finally went in to the land that God had promised them. They finally chose life. You see, preparation is so important. And you know, today we don't have 40 years to prepare for Easter. That would be a huge amount of time, wouldn't it? But we do have 40 days or so of Lent. And at the end of those 40 days, we will face Easter, whether we like it or not. Time goes and we will be there, just like the Israelites faced the promised land. Now, I don't think it matters how we prepare for Easter. You know, we could be the kind of people who sit there and think, I'm going to read loads of the Bible each day. Or we could be the kind of people who think, do you know, during Lent, I'm going to paint a picture. Or we could be the kind of people who think, during Lent, I'm going to sit and look at a cross for 2 minutes in the day. Or we could think, during Lent, I'm going to find out what Easter is all about. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to research it. Or we might think, during Lent, I'm just going to say each morning, Lord, please prepare me. We could do all sorts of things to prepare, and I don't think it matters how we do it. But what matters is that we do prepare, that we take this time and we prepare ourselves. So we don't get to Easter Day and think, oh, I'm just not ready. I've been too busy. There's been too much on. Because we've got time now. Right now we've got time to prepare. So let's set it aside and say, this year I'm going to prepare. This year I'm going to choose life. This year I'm going to choose God. Maybe you'd like to respond to what's just been said. Maybe you'd like to be thinking about it. Do I want to prepare this year for God? Or am I just going to let it pass me by, as many times Lent does? And as we sing our next song, maybe we'll remain seated and we'll think.